It's 8:30. Tonight's Saturday Night Theatre is a play by Frederick Bradnam called Creepers, with Ian Holm, Jack May, Elizabeth Bell, and Philip Bond.
All right, over here, men, lads.
Yes, sir.
Shut up, Tom. She fell from where? You shine your torch out that wall, please, Constable. There you are. Now, that window, which is open. What window is that, sir?
One of the attic rooms.
Mm-hmm. I thank you, Constable. Would she have been there in the normal course of events, sir?
I have no idea. With Julia, there wasn't any normal course of events, Inspector. What did you say her name was?
Butler. Detective Chief Inspector Butler, sir. Excuse me. Well, can you tell me anything, Doc?
Only that the injuries I can see are consistent with falling headfirst from 50 feet odd onto a hard surface, like this patio. She died immediately. Broke her neck, fractured her skull, came down like a diver.
And gravity didn't obtain long enough to turn her. Can my chaps take the pictures now?
Do. There's nothing more I can do here.
They found her dead at 11. Kent says she was alive at 7 when they left for their dinner party.
At a guess, I'd say she died about 9. I'll do the post-mortem in the morning, let you know about drink or drugs or anything.
Fine, thanks, Doc. All right, lads, you can take your pictures.
Right, sir.
Do you want us out here anymore, Butler? It's turning dip here.
No, sir. Do take Mr. and Mrs. Cookham in, will you? And I'll join you in a jiffy.
Hello. Who's this lady for?
Me, sir. She's my detective sergeant.
Good grief. Detective sergeant, I never would guess.
No, sir, she is prettier than most detective sergeants, but late.
Do bring her with you when you come inside, don't you? Come on, you two, in with your drinks.
Well, D.S. Rogers, don't tell me you were with a boyfriend or in the bath.
Or both, sir? I was sent to the wrong address, Keepers, 5 miles away. A small cottage inhabited by 2 very sweet middle-aged theatrical gents. And they thought it was a terrific giggle. So I called up and I was told the right place, Creepers.
Well, it's a good beginning. A good name for it, isn't it?
Covered in it. Somehow it's sinister in the moonlight, I always think. Dead lady, I see, sir.
Yep. Julia Kent. Wife of Captain William Kent, RN, retired. The big bloke who, after patting your bottom, has just gone in. Cut up about it, isn't he?
Oh, his wife? I see him around, sir, behaving like a punter.
Well, it's the effect of your charm, lovey. Well, a few facts, all I have. Julia Kent was 40. Stayed home this evening when Kent and his house guests, the Cookhams, Charles and Mary, well-heeled, 30-odd, and either they're dim or they can't be bothered or they're scared, and they... Where was I?
Kent and the Cookhams went.
To dinner. Up the road, the Lawsons, leaving about 7. We must check that they were there. Well, I'm sure they were. And they arrived back here about 11, poured themselves some drinks, and Kent went into the conservatory and out onto the patio. Why, I didn't ask him. It being a fine moonlit night, he saw the lady at once, naturally, and rang us at 11:22. Mm. Oh, sorry, 23:22.
Why did Mrs. Kent stay behind, sir?
No idea. No living-in servants. She was alone.
So she must have fallen.
Yeah, the local PC tells me she was an unwise drinker. Lost her driving licence last month for 2 years. Oh, yes, and there was some lurid stories about her sex life going round locally.
I've seen her with a horsey gent called Julian Marchbanks at Point to Point more than once.
Oh, yeah? Good. Well, let's go in and get it straight. When they've finished whatever they're doing, Sergeant, you can take the body off and all go home, right?
Right, sir. Thank you. Good night, sir.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you.
This is the conservatory.
So I see. Somebody goes in for creeping plants, don't they?
Yes, they do.
In here. Drawing on there.
Hello, Captain. You first, Raylene. Keep his attention.
What a lovely room.
Oh, glad you like it. What do you have to drink? Butler?
I'll have a Scotch, sir, thank you.
Detective Sergeant Rogers. Damn silly, that sounds looking at you, you know. What will you have?
The same, sir, thank you. Can I have soda with it, please?
Why not? Anything for a lady. Sit down, Miss Rogers.
Thank you.
Just because the Chief Inspector prefers to prowl.
Is it a terrible business, Mrs. Cookham?
Oh, yes, I suppose it is. Shocking.
You any idea how it happened? Anything?
Don't ask damn fool questions, what? Charles. Scotch and soda, Miss Detective.
Thank you.
Scotch and water, Governor? That's what they call you, isn't it?
I don't encourage you, sir.
No, all I meant, Bill, was has Butler here find anything? Like a clue.
Have you, Butler? Are you Rogers?
Only an open window.
And a wall covered in creeper.
Parthenocissus and Campsis. Virginia and Trumpet. Holds the place up.
Julia loved growing creeping plants. I find them rather sinister and spidery.
I'd like to see that attic room tonight, Captain Kent.
Mystery is, what was Julia doing up there?
Finish your drink and I'll show you up.
Thank you, sir. When you arrived back this evening, Mrs. Cook and Mr. Cook, did you notice anything at all out of place in the house? I can't say what sort of thing, but I mean anything that sort of struck you as odd or unusual.
No, I didn't see or feel anything. Did you, Charlie?
No, good Lord, no. Oh, you know, I wouldn't notice anything if someone moved the blooming door.
And you, sir?
No, I wasn't looking for anything except the drinks.
Is the television set always at that angle?
It is when Julia watches, and she can sit in that chair by the cabinet in which resides the booze and not have to get up.
Mm-hmm. The set wasn't on when you came in, was it, sir?
No, and I didn't test it to see if it was still warm.
Right, well, the attic room, I think, sir. And then we can all get some chat up.
Right, you are.
You don't want us up there, do you?
No, sir, thank you very much.
Thank God for that.
And thank you both for being so cooperative.
Oh, jolly good. Don't you think, Mary?
Oh, yes, rather. Of course.
Go on then, Chief Inspector. And you go. Up you go.
Bloody stairs. The door on the right.
Come on, sir. Yeah. You said you looked in, sir, after you found your wife. Did you expect to find anything?
I don't know what I thought
of time. Signs of a struggle, maybe. Mm. What else?
Oh, been no struggling in here, I'd say. Pristine tidy, don't you think, Raylene?
Mrs. Kent must have gone through it like a ghost.
Mm. Single bed, two tables, two chairs, one easy. Wardrobe. You got a cold coming on, dear?
I was trying not to sneeze, sir.
If somebody comes to stay and brings a personal servant, we bung the menial up here in the attics. This room first has a view which is considered stunning by those who are stunnable.
Oh, yes. With this moon, you can see miles. Perhaps Mrs. Kent came up to see the view, would she?
Landscapes by moonlight didn't turn through her off.
Well, yes, it is quite a view, isn't it? Like a parlour painting and not a fake. What did turn her on, sir?
You're too young to understand, aren't you?
Try me, sir. I was in the Metropolitan for 7 years.
Did you have experience of Julia's sort of woman?
I've no idea what sort of woman she was, sir.
And you would like me to tell you?
Well, for instance, she didn't leave a note, did she, sir?
A note? No, Julia wasn't a suicide, the last thing she was. I've known all sorts of wishes to emanate from the lady in all sorts of ways, but never the wish for her own death.
May I make an observation about you, Captain Kent?
Seeing it's from you, it's my pleasure.
I know the English are good at concealing their feelings, but you can't really be so cold-blooded about your wife's death as you seem, can you, sir?
I grew to hate the bitch. Although, as God's my judge, I can't dance a jig on her death. Going down like that from that window, bloody awful. But if you want to know, now she's dead, I can't feel anything except the knowledge she's no longer with us. And that's not so much a feeling as a knowing thought. That's all.
Thank you, sir, for being so honest. She didn't go with you to the Lawsons this evening because she didn't want to. There's no other reason.
She may have had other reasons beyond not liking my friends. I don't know. I didn't ask. I was only too pleased she wasn't coming, and so was everybody else. Because if she ever did turn up with me, she was sure to get so boozed up she'd be a public disgrace.
She drank quite heavily, did she, sir?
I thought every copper in the district knew that. Most of the time she drank casually, and the rest of the time heavily. It's a syndrome not entirely unheard of in her sort of woman. Rich and spoilt. They're like some ships. They look top-hole, but they need one hell of a lot of fuel to keep them afloat.
Could anybody have called in to see her this evening, sir.
Did you mean the ladies of the Women's Institute?
I was thinking more of personal friends, sir.
I thought you would be. Jesus, how I loathe this dirty linen stuff. However, somebody could have been in. Not the current boyfriend. He's in Ireland riding the GGs, and I hope he breaks his blasted neck.
Anybody else in particular, sir?
I don't know, Butler. She could have staggered down to the local boozer and picked up a farm boy. It depends on how she felt.
And the attics would have been the place to take a farmer's boy. Shall I look at the other rooms, sir?
Yes, do that, yes.
You will have to look around outside, in the village and so on, I take it.
I'll do it gently, sir. It's snug and rustic around here, and everybody knows everybody else's business, I'm sure. It shouldn't be too difficult.
I suppose things could have got out of hand for once.
And there was the window. Perhaps it was open. Oh, can I ask you to see to it that nothing's touched in here, sir, until the fingerprint chaps give it a going over in the morning?
By all means. Ah, here's our booty rack.
Nothing, sir. It's all shipshape.
And Bristol fashion, I'm sure.
All right, sir. No more tonight. I'll ring you in the morning and tell you when I'm coming in. All right, come on, Rogers. You've had enough flattering attention for one night.
Good night, Captain Kent.
Do you mind driving, Raylene? I want to think.
Something's not quite right, is it, sir?
Say that again.
That attic room. Somebody besides the dead woman was in it.
It was so very tidy, wasn't it? I mean, do you dive out of a window and not leave a mark? It's like a ghost, you said.
I did, sir. My second sight, I would have. You felt some ex-presence, male and not at all nice.
Well, what did you smell?
A terrible nose for smells, you know. Heavyish aftershave or a hair oil. I can't quite place it, but I will.
She made a go at hanging onto the creeper just below the window, so she didn't shoot out, but slid. Oh, well, we'd better drive on.
Oh, sorry. And the cookums?
Not at ease, were they? Now, what sort of clues did he expect us to have, for God's sake? And why, how did it happen?
Oh, just making conversation, sir. And watching the captain.
See, they weren't they? I'll tell you something, Raylene. The Cookhams were up the creek without a paddle. Lost in a situation they had no previous experience of.
And what sort of experience did their sort ever get?
I'll tell you one day. And if Julia drank like a fish, did she swig it from the bottle? I saw no dirty glass.
Well, she could have put it tidily in the kitchen before she went upstairs with the lover boy.
Tidy, again, you see. I should have looked at her bedroom. Well, probably that would have been tidy as well, anyway. Now, can your second sight tell us what they're up to in Creepers at this very moment?
Sorry, sir, no. It doesn't travel well out on its own.
No, no.
I don't imagine they'll be back tonight. Do you? Well, do you?
There's no sign of return. Probably not. But they took their time leaving, must they?
If I was Butler, I know the first thing I'd do once I got that young woman into the car beside me.
Really, Billy, will you ever grow up so far as women are concerned?
I doubt it. I seem to grow randier as I grow older. Oh, no, they've gone. You come away from the window, Charlie. You look like something out of a Hitchcock film.
Hmm?
Oh. Now, listen. Before we let friend Jenkins out...
Let him out? I thought he'd done a bunk.
You think he's responsible for Julia's death?
Oh,
no, let's face that fence when we come to it. No, he's safely stashed away. I'll show you where in a minute.
Oh.
I thought they'd find him under a bed or somewhere. I was almost speechless with fright.
He used to have been upstairs, Ducky, in his room. Butler was x-raying everything with his eyes and the girl trying to smell things out. Which reminds me, they're going to try for fingerprints in the morning.
I wiped everything when I tied it up.
That's when we noticed Jimmy's things had gone. So we thought he had too.
Then we have a drill. He shoves everything in a box and takes it with him, and we keep it all to the minimum. So it takes 10 seconds. Thanks for doing the room, Mary. All they'll find is Butler and Rogers and my own prints. Good.
I haven't had time until now to think about it. It's a shocking and terrible mess, isn't it? Poor wretched Julia.
And a ghastly way to die. I mean, seeing the patio come up at you.
Don't let's go on about it. What I want to say is this.
We must ask Jimmy what happened, but for the future's sake, we must mind how we go.
We've suffered from Jimmy's temper too, you know, Bill.
That is the common link among the man's friends. But there's more to it than bad temper now.
There must be, of course, ever since... if it was him.
You've only been here 24 hours, and he's been on his best behavior. Pleased to see old pals, different faces. But believe me, there have been times these last 6 months when I... and Julia also have wondered if he wasn't a far-gone mental case.
He always did have a bit of a screw loose, of course.
Mm-hmm. He was an eccentric from a long line of eccentrics. But now he's something else. And being shut away for 6 months hasn't helped. It wouldn't help anybody, would it? So I beg of you, whatever he does, keep it cool. All right?
All right. Well, where is he?
Just give the desk a push, will you, Charlie? Huh?
Like that? Oh. Don't know my own strength.
It's on cunning little wheels. The carpet comes up.
Why, Joe...
have you done all this yourself?
This house is 400 years old. This is a priest's home. Ah, I'd like a fiver if every poor sod has been under this trap door, and a few girls, I'm sure. Now, there we are. Up it comes. Magician's thread does it, you know. See for yourself. A passage of steps goes down to a secret room in the cellars. Small and comfy. And we've improved the ventilation. There's a door at the other end, so it's all very soundproof. Did you know they used to find priests out by listening? Evidently, priests were very farty lot. I fitted a little buzzer. 3 buzzes and the coast is clear.
Once he goes dying, he can't put the desk back, can he?
No, only close the trap door. And once the desk is in position, he can't get out, which is the one big hold I have over our Jim. Once I found Julia tonight, I bolted in here and put the desk back. I thought it safer. Shall we have him out? 1, 2, 3. The coast is clear at last, old lad.
Are you by yourself?
No, Charlie and Mary are with me.
Are they? I thought we agreed the less you know about this hold, the better.
Ah, things are not what they were, old scout. Charles and Mary need to know what to do.
Oh, so you've found Julia, have you? Well, it wasn't my fault. Help me out, will you? Otherwise, I have to...
Hold on! Up we come!
Hello, Charles. Hello, Mary.
Jimmy.
Oh, boy.
Tell us what happened, Jimmy.
Where is he?
In the morgue by now, I imagine.
Holy cow, you called in the authorities?
I'm afraid so, old boy. What else could one do?
A loser somewhere, dig a hole, drop her in the sea, anything.
She would be missed, sooner than later. She did have friends, you know, many friends.
Not my friends, nor yours, were they?
She's not the sort of woman you can sink without trace. That's all I'm trying to say, old scout.
We're going to have the law all over us, crawling everywhere.
For a week or so, yes. But it'll be nothing to what they would do if they decided she'd been done in. Then they don't leave a corner unexplored, believe me.
By the time they'd have cottoned on to anything, I'd be away, wouldn't I? It's been 6 blasted months now. It can't be much longer, can it?
Whether you're here or not, I don't relish being suspected of killing my wife.
I can't imagine why you didn't throttle her years ago.
You know, Jimmy, bodies do have a nasty way of turning up when least expected. It always happens.
Even from the depths of the sea, that man the other day.
Yes. So what can you tell the blue bottles? What have you told them?
Have a drink. The usual?
I'll make it a stiff one. I ran out of the hard stuff down there.
Now, old scout, before I tell you what I told the 2 police persons, you tell us what happened.
I was down here looking at the telly with the sound very low, you know. I like to keep an ear on the outside world when I'm alone. When I heard a scream and a thump, so I waited, and then I sneaked out and saw her. She was dead, all right, so I thought I'd better go to ground, just in case an unexpected visitor turned up and found her. It put me in a bit of a tizzy, if you want to know.
A foul moment. What time was it?
The BBC News was on 9 or so. I went upstairs to get my things and saw the window was wide open, so I guess she'd jump.
Earlier?
after we had left, what was she like? She left me alone at first, then she had a few. Then she became spiteful drunk, the way she can be. Told me I was a damn nuisance, and she'd a good mind to hand me over to the Rossers there and then.
I say, that wasn't very nice of her, was it?
Oh, she'd said it before when she was cut. Bill knows.
That and lots more. Only Julia never remembered when sober what the hell she'd been up to when drunk. Anything else, Jimmy?
Oh, I was given the usual spiel about me and my friends and your friends. The Mayfair Mafia, as she calls us. Did call us, isn't it now? And the usual stuff about us and her and how we only put up with her because she has oodles in the piggy bank and how we reckon we're a law unto ourselves and we don't care a cuss for anybody not like us. All I did was to agree with her and put the telly on.
And then she went upstairs and threw herself out of your window.
Of course, she could have gone up to do some damage. Well, throw your things out of the window or something. Some gesture. And went out herself by mistake.
My girl, of course. That's it. Brilliant old girl.
Oh, clever that, Mary. I bet you're dead right. Bill?
It's a perfectly good explanation. I can think of no other.
So, there we are. What explanation did you give the police?
I gave no explanation. I only suggested she may have had a lover boy in and things got out of hand.
Why the hell didn't you say she just had had enough and jumped?
It wasn't on. I won't be as unfair as that to Julia. And I needed to keep to the truth as far as possible.
Have the Rossers followed it?
I've no idea. The man Butter doesn't give anything away. He'll check out the village lads, probably find nothing.
I just wonder if they will find somebody.
That's their funeral. All being well, we should get a verdict of accidental death. And I'll grant you that alcoholics have been known to fall for the head of it.
I'll have to keep a very low profile, won't I?
You will, Jimmy. But we'll do our best to keep you free from going down the mine. We'll just have to be quick on the draw, that's all.
I should have kept an eye on Julia, you know. I can't forgive myself easily, you know. After all you've done for me, could easily hand me over, but pick up the phone and say, I've got Jonah Jenkins here. But you don't, because you're a real old pal, Bill.
Yes, yes,
you're
old boy.
I'm in the mood for now.
Oh, dear. A policeman's lot is not a happy one. Do you know, D.S. Rogers, that the expression pig is 19th century?
Second half, sir.
Oh.
In particular, the plainclothesmen, I believe.
Hmm. I think we'll have to start being fairly piggy if we're ever going to discover who shoved Mrs. Julia Kent out of that window, don't you?
Yes, sir. But piggy with whom?
Damn it, Moriarty, you've seen through to what I don't know. So, let's see what it is that we do know, shall we? Now, autopsy. Ignoring her fatal injuries, starting to go to sea, but nothing serious. Inebriated up to the gills. One thing oddish, a sort of wheal, reddish mark at the base of her back. Now, give it thought. Fingerprints. Yours, mine, Kent's. And some smudge ones. Now, if I had a suspicious mind, I think somebody had wiped the paintwork.
Well, the lover boy would only have handled Julia, sir, so it could be natural.
Natural? Now, what about lover boy?
The horsey boyfriend Marchbanks isn't was in Ireland. Anyway, why would a lover push her out of the window?
What sort of lover's tiff would come to that?
Oh, Mr. Butler.
Hmm?
That perfume I could smell in the attic room.
Yes.
I had a sniff round the mail counter in that expensive store in town, and I'm sure it was Honey and Flowers hair oil.
Honey and Flowers. Very much Captain Kent and Company, isn't it? Well, the inquest is tomorrow. I suppose we could have one last chat with Kent about Julia's friends. I suppose one of them could have driven down and done it. And the Cookhams still worry me, you know.
Is Captain Kent at home, Mrs. Cooker?
No, he stepped out for a breath of fresh air. He won't be long. All this rain, you know.
Oh. Do you mind if we wait?
No, of course not. Do come into the drawing room. You look cool, Miss Roy.
Well, Mr. Butler will drive with the windows open.
We'll go into the drawing room. I'll get some coffee.
Thank you.
Oh, Charlie. Mr. Butler and Miss Rogers, they're going to wait for Bill.
Yes, of course. Come in and sit down.
Thank you.
I'll put the old electric fire on. We've had the windows open in here, airing it out, you know.
It's nasty weather for the time of year.
Yes, isn't it?
Some warm up.
Thank you, Mr. Cookham.
Yeah. Smoked a few cigars in here last night. A villain myself.
Not your wife, I'm glad to hear.
You know, women have been known to. Anyway, you've got rid of the smell, Mr. Cookham. There's not a trace.
Yes, my DS has a very highly developed olfactory sensor.
Which is mostly a damn nuisance.
Yes, I bet.
Besides the airing, have you dusted and hoovered, Mr. Cookham?
No, actually, I... I see what you mean. No, the captain keeps a couple of domestics who come in.
Mm-hmm. Local people, are they?
I don't know. I suppose they're local. Ah, here's Mary.
Oh.
The coffee was hot. Milk, Miss Rogers?
Oh, please, and black for the DCI.
Where did the domestics come from, Mary? Do you know?
Oh, from the village, I gather. I think Bill really needs to find somebody younger, if he's going to stay, that is. Mrs. Batty and her sister are very ancient.
Oh, that coffee smells good. I shouldn't think they're much good at moving this furniture around. Each piece must weigh a ton. Oh, or am I being rather rude?
No, you're quite right.
Thank you.
I thought the old lady said that you'd seen them and asked them questions, Mr. Butler.
Well, oh, no, not me. No, the village PC. But I'll tell him he's been promoted. Somebody's left that desk over there a bit askew, haven't they? Oh, dear. Coming on to rain again, I see.
Yeah, so it is. It's on. Hide a desk off like that, I mean.
Bill was moving it around looking for something that had fallen apart.
I shouldn't worry, Mrs. Cookham. Mr. Butler has an awful talent for spotting things out of place.
Quite useful in the detective, what?
Well, most things out of place, as Raylene puts it, are so by chance and disappointingly unimportant to a detective. Oh,
yes. Morning, Butler. I see you brought the desirable detective sergeant with you.
Couldn't keep her away, sir.
Aha. Just having my morning constitutional between the cats and dogs. What can I do for you?
I wish I knew, sir. But tell me who was in the attic room with your wife, because I can't tell you.
I thought you two were the detectives.
We can't detect a single culpable fact. Not a sniff in the village.
What about outside the village, Captain Kent?
I gave you a list of the people we were on visiting terms with as part of the county.
No good at all, sir. A more innocent collection of non-clandestine visitors I have yet to meet.
Dulles Ditchwater, most often.
Now, I was thinking of London. One can drive from the south of the river to here in a couple of hours.
I think all Julia's friends live south of the river.
You wouldn't know if any one of them would have caused to come here on that evening.
My dear fellow, I gave you her address book. You can check them out. The inquest tomorrow, are you going to ask for an adjournment?
Oh, well, we check out 200 names. No, I think not, sir. No coroner would stand for it, and certainly not ours. I think she must have fallen. Accidental death. Well, that's what I came to say. And to ask for the last time if you've remembered anybody who could have been a violent enemy of the dead woman?
No, but the answer is as previously. My friends didn't like her, but they didn't hate her. Mm. Her friends seemed to like her, but I knew none of them very well.
Yes, well, I'm afraid, sir, that there's no rational or logical explanation for Mrs. Kent's death, but then death is sometimes like that. Well, we must be away. I'll see you at the inquest. Thank you for your help, sir. Come on, my girl.
I'll see the mic, Bill.
No, thanks. See you tomorrow, Butler. Roger.
Thank you for the coffee, Mrs. Cookham.
Not at all.
Oh, you and your wife are going to return home. The pile is...
What the devil happened, Mary?
She wouldn't go to ground. She opened the windows and went out.
Why doesn't he get on with it?
I'll go upstairs and see they depart properly.
Right.
Bill, did you find him outside?
I did. You thought it was funny, you did. He's in the greenhouse.
It wasn't funny. I thought he was going to brain Charlie with the doorstop.
The idiot. I'm beginning to lose patience. We must get him out of the country.
Hold everything. They're coming back.
Oh, no. Oh, that girl. Mm. She's left her bag. I'll take it. Come here, Charlie. I'll cope with it.
Did she do it on purpose, you think?
Wait for them to ring.
Where the hell is Jimmy?
In the greenhouse.
Now, I know who that is.
Oh, stop fidgeting, Charlie.
I guess it was you.
Yes.
So I just asked you there. Thank you so much. Bye. Now... I wonder...
Alarms and excursions, and did she leave it on purpose?
Aren't we being all too suspicious?
Do you think they have any idea? Might someone in the heist, I mean.
Well, that'd be altogether too far-fetched, surely. And are they still looking for Jimmy officially, Bill? Surely not.
No, officially they aren't. Unofficially, they reckon he's dead by his own hand. There are times, like now, when I wish the idiot was. What did he think? Because two coppers come to the front door, there won't be two at the back. What were they on to you about?
Domestic star situation, and odd enough the size and weight of the furniture in here.
Huh?
And Master Butler noticed the desk was askew.
Oh. I moved it to put Jimmy down in the hill. I didn't put it back square. Sorry.
There's something bugging Butler about his face. I'm not sure about the girl, but Butler is a sort of instinctive bloke. I get the impression that he's aware something's not quite straight here, don't you?
He always makes me feel bloody uneasy, like my housemaster used to.
Now, I think the girl is quite as sensitive to things as he is, only she doesn't show it. They're really rather a good team, you know.
Now Julia's gone, I think I shall sell this house. So we'll have to get James away, or somebody else hide him.
Shall I get him in?
Where's Mrs. Batty and Sister Hilda?
I sent them up to do the bedrooms.
Mm. Let the beggar stay up for a moment. It'll cool his ardour and my temper. That's another problem that's getting worse, dodging Batty and Hilda.
I wonder if I'd be thankful that they're so decrepit and short-sighted.
Only one is short-sighted. I can't remember which. The other's just stupid. The trouble is that our James is becoming careless with them. And I wonder if they've seen anything and made anything of it. And I've had to put up with Julia's cooking, so there's always enough for Jimmy.
We should go back after the inquest. So what will you do?
Give me a few days to organise Adrian and Sarah. They did promise.
Of course, Bill. Oh, I shall be happy when the inquest is over, and I think we all will be.
Yeah, yeah, old girl.
Good morning, Mr. Butler.
Good morning.
The first day of summer.
Is it?
I thought the inquest went smoothly yesterday.
Did you?
Well, the lecturer's captain and the Cookhams didn't actually cheer when the accidental death was given, but only just not.
So I thought.
Oh, I can see you've a lot on your desk, sir, and on your mind, so shall I get on with something else?
No. You'll sit down and listen.
Yes, sir.
Now, have you ever read Simenon's Maigret stories, Rayling?
Chief Inspector Maigret. Some years ago.
One of the things Simenon makes him good at is getting at the centre of the puzzle. And that centre is as often a person or a place as it's a situation. So Maigret works his way inside a person's skin or prowls around a place until it reveals something to him. You see what I mean?
Creepers, you mean?
Yes. Creepers. Now, from the very first moment I entered that place, I felt it was the actual house that held the secret of how Julia Kent died. Oh, I know, it sounds melodramatic, doesn't it?
No, not really. I felt things about that house myself.
Hmm. It's there, isn't it? Among those smooth, cool, rich people. The outward manifestations are obvious. I mean, furniture out of line, windows open, Cookham looking out from the landing window to see us leave, Kent out for a constitutional in smart town shoes in the pouring rain. No outward signs of Julia's drinking that night, but in her stomach...
Honey and flowers in the attic, no cigars in the drawing room.
Yes. And after the inquest yesterday, I called in at the county archives room. Now, look, all this on my desk is the result. It's a very old village, full of antiquities, including creepers, which is a 14th century foundation and up to 20 years ago had one of the finest authentic priest's holes in England.
Up to 20 years ago?
Well, that's the last time that its existence was recorded. Now, there's more than a good chance that it's still there, the priest hole, and the present owners know about it. I've got some plans of the house here somewhere. Under all this rock. Yeah, look, here we are. You see these? Look, see for yourself. Here are trapdoor at spot mark T. 3 feet from the south wall of the drawing where the desk was askew, remember? Beneath it is a passage down to a secret room in the cellars, 8x8.
That's it. So who are they hiding?
Something Kent is ashamed of, do you think? It can be this in these cases. I mean, a monstrous child, a lunatic brother, the sort of thing Gothic novels were full of. Or is it something criminal?
It could be criminal, sir.
Do you have a reason for that statement?
The other day, I remembered where and how I knew about the Kents. It had been worrying me for some time. They'd been in the press, all over the front pages of the popular press, 6 months or so ago. I dug up the newspaper file on them. And after I'd read it, it didn't seem to have any bearing on our problem. But I'm perhaps wrong. The Kents and the Cookhams, come to that, were members of the set to which one James Jonah Jenkins belonged.
My dear girl, how very clever of you.
Now, we've got a file on Jenkins. Was somewhere next door?
I'll get it, sir. Here we are.
Oh, hell, bulky. I should have remembered. The Met kept it strictly to themselves, otherwise I might have. 14th of November last. Mrs. Jenkins found dead in her Cadogan Place flat, strangled after being knocked around. Tenants of flat below heard banging and smashing, rang 999, went out to see and saw Jenkins coming down the stairs. He ran out, was picked up by a passing cabbie who noticed from his face that he was bleeding and from scratches that had his shirt torn. Took him to the 500 Club in Curzon Street. Dorman confirmed he looked as if he'd been in a fight. Went into the club and has never been positively seen again.
He must have had very good friends.
It seems Mrs. Jenkins wasn't of her husband's set and, like Mrs. Kent, was disliked by them. What else? Yeah, Jenkins. Two previous. Assault on person. Fined. Fights with wife on three occasions, reported by name as the police. Jimmy Jenkins would have been quite at home in some of the nastier parts of Glasgow. Wealthy, Eton and Household Cavalry, social, horse racing set. Mayfair, Newmarket and so on. Look, I quote, Jenkins has some 20 close friends who stick together like toffee. Not a word out of place, not a word too much. Mayfair Iron Curtain. The law, something that's no concern of theirs.
May I see, sir?
Yes, do.
Thanks. A warrant out on Jenkins for murder still. Not surprising.
No.
Do you think if he pushed Julia out of the window, Kent would still protect him?
Kent's stuck with him, isn't he? He can't hand him over now without being charged himself. Can't get rid of him. Probably that's proving very tricky. And like us, he could assume she fell.
Kent's was seen, I see, for the last time 3 months ago. I say, sir, did you know they had creepers under surveillance up until that last interview?
I didn't. I bet the village did, though.
The chaps from the Met didn't get very far with W. Kent. He was very uppity. You did a lot better.
I had something on him, and he wanted to impress you.
Yes. He's inviting me round for a drink.
Oh. Well, put on your tin knickers and go, then.
Well, that's what I thought. I see they reckon Jenkins has done himself in. No idea where. Somebody thinks his pals would bury him.
But they have, in a way, haven't they?
He must be right, you know, sir.
Well, only know by flushing him out.
Well, we could get a search warrant, surely.
Oh, not to look for Jenkins, I couldn't. Not without the Met backing it up. And I've no other reason to search the house, have I? Anyway, I might still find Jenkins elusive. I mean, the wretched house is probably a warren of hiding holes not in the archives. It'll be more fun flushing him out, squaring up to Kent.
Yes, sir. Well, what next, sir?
Well, let's see. Yes, I'm going to talk to the two old biddies who clean creepers. You go and talk to Kent. Gin in the private bar for me and champers in the drawing room for you.
Come on, Jimmy, off your bed and on your feet. Our radio will be here in 50 minutes and I want you right out of the way.
I don't feel like going down the mine tonight, Bill.
Oh, no, what do you feel like, a night out somewhere?
Well, why not? Nobody remembers me, I've grown a beard, nobody's looking for me.
So you keep telling me. There's a warrant out for your arrest on charge of murder, so come on, old scout, now isn't the time for argument.
Now's the time for action, I grant you. I've never had it off with a policewoman, nor have you, I'd say.
There's always a first time. Have you got the things you want?
Book and booze are down there.
Oh, come on, then. She's not staying for supper.
This is just a preliminary skirmish, is it?
Has to be, isn't it? There's Charles and Mary here.
When are they being relieved?
God alone knows. Adrian and Sarah have problems. The poor cuckoos are getting twitchy and I don't blame them. Come along, boy.
Sorry. I was just thinking how nice it would be...
What? What would be nice?
To escape.
Oh! You silly bloody oaf! Charles, Mary, stop the idiot! Blast and damnation! My knee's gone! Charles, Jimmy, on his way out!
Charlie, quick! Oh, Jimmy, please, let him get a fool!
Oh, please, keep away from me, Mary. I'm going to have a little drive. Back later! I was up. What's going on? Jimmy, go right.
Let's hope he breaks his bloody neck 10 miles away.
What did he do?
Shove me down the stairs, cunning bastard. This knee goes easily.
It's our car he's taken, Charlie. I suppose he will come back.
No way can he go. I doubt if he's got more than a fiver on him.
Holy smoke, it's a nightmare, isn't it?
Our police girl will be here in a moment. I twisted my knee in the garden this afternoon, right?
Yes.
She can't stay long, so she said. So she'll be given a couple of snorters and shown the door.
But what if he comes back while she's here?
I'll go out. If we hear the car, you two stay here.
Good on you. Bloody Jimmy. I'm going to carry my service revolver on me in future. And if there's any argument, he goes down the mine at gunpoint. And if I shoot him dead, who's to know except his poor blighters of friends? And we won't shed tears, will we? Come on, we'd better try to seem normal for Miss Rogers and thank our lucky stars that gimlet-eyed butler bloke is elsewhere this fine summer evening.
Tommy, well, what do you both have? Mrs. Spatty, Miss...
No, she's never called anything else but Hilda, Mr. Butler.
All right. Hilda, what is it to be?
Well, Hilda will have a stout.
I always have a stout.
And if you don't mind, I'll have a gin and...
Right. Thank you,
Lord. A young policeman came and talked to us. Had a cup of tea, he did. Had a uniform. Where's yours?
Oh, Mr. Butler's plain clothes, Hilda.
I used to have a uniform once, you know.
Did they take it away because it was bad?
I think that's right, landlord. Something
for
yourself, huh?
You
sure?
Here
we are, ladies.
Ah, you
In your very good health.
And look, sir. One's terrible faint, poor Mrs. Kent, out of the window like
that. Oh, we don't never go up there. They've got spooks.
But the attics, you mean, do you know,
Hilda? Oh, the attics. Ghost of a young girl, so they say.
And a fella. I see the fella.
No, no, he's not a ghost. Oh. He's the unfortunate creature left behind.
Oh. Ah. How long have you worked there, Creepers?
Only 5 months now, and Hilda too.
Mrs. Kent had living in servants what went, they did.
There was a row, was there?
There was all sorts of things. They had one living in first, been with them for years. Nice, respectable lady, only she had a son out of wedlock, so it was said he was funny in the head. Not all there.
He were a bit balmy,
Ah, he's the unfortunate creature, is he? He's still there in the house.
There's no knowing. He could be.
What was this housekeeper's name?
Mrs. Copley. Cook general, more than housekeeper.
Oh, I didn't know there were such things left.
Oh, yes.
She left, did she?
And the captain got in a piece of stuff from the continent. Mm-hmm.
What's known as an au pair, I believe.
Oh, yes.
From Denmark, she was. Very handsome girl.
Oh, she had flat shawl down her back and tight trousers all over her, you know what.
She and Mrs. Cobley didn't hit it off, not at all. I mean, Mrs. C, she'd sit here in this very seat, and she'd tell of the goings-on at the house. Shocked she was. Oh, very respectable she was, but for her lapse. So one day she packed her bags and she went.
And you think that she left her lapse behind her?
It's like they say, Mr. Butler. Nobody saw him leave.
I do like me drop a stout, I do.
You'll have another, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure, too, yes.
And you, Mrs. Butler?
Oh, very kind of you. Thank you.
Thank you, landlord. Same again, please. That was a stout, gin in it, and a pint. So Mrs. Copley left, and then you joined the staff,
Poor Mrs. Kent. Oh, she asked us to come and work there. The girl did nothing, so it seemed just lay around on her bed all day up in the attics.
Oh, and that captain would go up a lot.
That girl? She was just a cucumbine for his pleasure.
Here we are, ladies.
But she didn't last long, this Danish girl.
Bottoms up.
That was one of the captain's expressions. No, the captain went up to Scotland for the shooting, so Mrs. Kent, she jumped at her chance, and out she went overnight, belongings and all.
Nobody saw the going of her, but gone she was.
But that left the pair of you to run the house. You do everything, do you?
Not the top rooms. We don't go up there. We've heard
We said, begging your pardon, madam, but we'd rather not do out those old rooms. And she said it didn't matter, not at all. Nice as anything she was.
Do you do the cooking, too?
Never allowed to, Mr. Butler. And she said, when she engaged, you can cook, Mrs. Batty. Hilda prepares.
Vegetables in delight.
Do you reckon that Mrs. Kent was cooking for an extra mouth?
Well, I seed a man up the top of the stairs looking down, and I seed him once in the garden with the captain, hurrying like to the greenhouse.
What was he like to look at, Hilda?
Oh, shorter than the captain, broad though, long hair and a big beard.
Was he fair or dark?
Oh, fair to yellow, white skin, but what could be shaved.
Have you ever seen this man, Mrs. Buckley?
No, can't say I have, Mr. Buckley. But then I'm as blind as a bat, no, but I heard things from the attic.
Oh, yeah, such as?
Bad language, shouting, and the poor thing had a shocking cough when he was first there, and that's when I asked Mrs. Kent...
Did you? Yes. Well, what did she tell you?
Well, that's when she said Mrs. Cobley left her trouble who was weak in the head behind, but we weren't to say anything. Not even the captain was to know we'd been told.
I heard her on the phone going on about him who had a screw loose.
I'm told there's a secret hiding place in the house.
Oh, I once looked through the window and got a fright. There I see the captain coming up through the floorboards. First the top of his head, then his head and shoulders, then half of him. Then I couldn't stand no more and run off.
We tried to find where he came up, but we couldn't. I thought Hilda had an illusion, but she swears.
I see them coming up through the floor, like a jack-in-the-box, only slower.
I'm sure you did, Hilda.
There, you see, he knows.
And where is our Mr. Butler this fine evening, Rayleigh? We may call you Rayleigh, may we?
You may, Captain Kent.
And I'm Bill, and she's Mary, and that's Charlie daydreaming at the window.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Awfully rude of me.
That's Mr. Butler's having a nice, quiet evening with his family.
No, he hasn't a family.
Oh. He's not out villain catching and such like, I hope.
I hope he's having a quiet pint in a pleasant pub, but you can never be sure.
I suppose you're never really off duty, are you?
There isn't exactly Chicago around here, Charlie. No, I don't often work much after six any evening, and I do keep my weekends free, mostly.
But with Butler, you could never be sure, eh?
I meant not only with Mr. Butler, with any of us.
But you're not on duty now, are you, what?
No, I've left my handcuffs at home.
I've brought your handbag instead. Mary, fix us all another drink here.
Yes, of course, Bill. Same as before, Rayleigh.
Thank you.
I'll give you a hand.
Oh, thank you, darling.
How did you do your knee in, Bill?
Hmm? In the garden.
Don't tell me you garden.
Oh, I do a bit. Why the hell shouldn't I?
Naval men hardly ever do. Don't grow things.
And you've had an extensive knowledge of naval men?
I once knew a chap who was a commander in the Irish Navy.
Did he command the big growing boat or the small one?
Here we are, Amy.
Thank you.
Bill?
Oh, thanks,
Amy. I've been told that the Irish make excellent sailors.
You try saying hard as stone to a paddy and see what becomes of you.
I say, I've suddenly thought. Are you Irish, Rayleigh?
My father comes from Cork.
I think Bill Kent has dropped out of his better clatter.
My dad owes a Patrick, but he'd forgive you. How did you do that knee, though?
I stumbled. Dead sober, too. And it went. It's a weaker, and I ruined it playing polo years back.
Oh, yes, of course.
What does oh, yes, of course, and that look mean?
I remember once reading about some of your pursuits in a paper.
Oh, that time? We were all of us plastered all over the papers. Awful it was. Do you know, somebody actually wrote a whole column about our new bathroom.
And I suggest that they ought to do something about the loo.
Seems years ago, but it can't be.
About 6 months ago, wasn't it?
Yes. 6 months, or just over.
I suppose you know all about Jonah Jenkins.
Oh, only what I read up. Like every other copper, I was meant to be looking for him.
Oh, poor old Jimmy.
He seemed a bit of a thug to me.
Oh, he was. But he was a friend. Must stick by your friends. As a copper, you should know that.
I know. I thought at the time that Jenkins was a pretty dangerous sort of chap to stick by.
He was never easy.
You mean, Rayleigh, that he wasn't to be trusted?
More or less, yes. It doesn't matter. I really didn't mean to bring the subject up.
I say, are you still looking for him?
Not very actively, but officially he's still wanted.
Well, his body will turn up someday, I dare say.
Car. Mary.
Yes, dear. Do excuse me, Raylene. It's the garage. They very kindly brought my car back. No, it's all right, Charlie. I have some cash.
Jolly good. Decent garage, they are.
Around here. You are lucky. Which one is it?
What's it called, Bill?
The Mayflower. Bloody awful, usually, but Mary's charmed them.
Well, I must be off in a minute.
Do have another drink.
No, thank you all the same. I'm driving, and if I get caught over the top, I'll be sent as a filing clerk to somewhere like the Outer Hebrides.
Oh, do wait for Mary to return. She won't be a moment.
I think I will go and see if she's all right. I mean, if the car's all right, that shall be Jeff.
Oh, Charlie. Does he always go on as if he's just committed the crime of the century?
Come to think of it, yes, he does. He probably was bullied no end of school. He's a natural fag, is Charlie.
She's nice, Mary.
Ah, bright girl. But you'd have to be, wouldn't you, with poor Charlie?
No, I can't see myself putting up with him.
No, nor can I. You would need a man who's about as independent as yourself, I dare say.
Possibly. And one who doesn't mind jokes about detective sergeants in nighties.
Try me.
Thank you. Well, what are you going to do now?
At this very moment, you mean?
Remember your knee, my man.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, are you going to stay on here? It's such a wonderful house. It's not my business.
Why shouldn't it be? To be honest, for once, I don't know. I need a moment of time to make up my mind.
You should take a holiday, perhaps. Get away from it all. I know I'd want to.
Would you now? Where should we go?
Oh, somewhere. Lots of sea. Only I'd need a little notice so that the great crime wave can be attended to while I'm away.
Oh, that's easy. There's quite a bit of unfinished business to clear up here before I can get away. Unfortunately.
Yes, I can imagine. The Cookhams will stay to help.
For the moment. Very decent of them.
I hope the garage isn't being difficult, or Charlie isn't checking on their handiwork.
The longer, the better. To have you on my own.
I think you're the first ex-customer who's ever made a pass.
Good grief, am I an ex-customer?
In a way, yes.
Yes. Bloody odd, I never thought of it like that. Did you reckon I'd given the little woman the fatal shove?
A dead wife suddenly dead always makes a copper glance at the living husband.
Glance as much as you like. As long as I can glance back.
Of course, you weren't seen running from the house in a disheveled state.
Your eyes are what's called cornflower blue, do you know?
Like one Jenkins. Cornflower blue?
It goes with the hair. Corn blonde.
Do you believe, even as an old pal, that Jenkins did it? My family say straw blonde, Dolly with straw plaits.
I have named Dollys with plaits, straw plaits. You're not them. Oh, of course he did, it was only a matter of time.
Dolls aren't dark. Takes a bit of living down in a blonde, the doll image. If he's alive, do you think he's racked by remorse?
Oh, not our James, remorse of his type. How could you be a doll with such a skin?
Peaches and cream, or spotted pig. Terrible in the sun, freckles appear. But you reckon he's dead?
Just tell me, and I'll take you to where the freckles will appear. Oh, yes, he's as dead as mutton.
Go! All settled?
Ah, I am so glad.
And the car really goes?
Yes, yeah, like a bomb. Doesn't it, Mary, old thing?
Doesn't it what?
Car. Go like a bomb.
I don't think that's a very tactful way of putting things these days, do you?
Well, I must go also. Unlike a bomb, I hope.
Do come again. You've done my knee a power of good.
I never touched it, believe it or not.
Of course not. It's a psychosomatic knee injury. Kindness cured.
Can't get up to show out there.
No, I'm housemaid for today. Well, I'll say goodbye. And thank you for the drink.
Has she gone? Really gone?
I watched and waved as she drove off.
My hair turned white. I swear Jimmy will send me to an early death. I feel quite done in.
I really fancy that girl, Uma.
I know.
But I still don't entirely trust her. She would keep hammering on about Jimmy, in between being sexy.
Well, it could be just a normal police person's curiosity, couldn't it?
Got to get rid of Jenkins. Charlie, you go to London tomorrow and pay a visit to our old pals. Tell them I'm being buzzed by the blue bottles much too closely and I must head out.
Yes, right, I'll do my best.
Out of the country with him. Out of this house. Somebody else must do the minding. Tell them that, Charlie. I've had 6 months and I don't want another 6 days even. Enough.
He's upstairs. Shall I...
Did he go quietly?
Oh, yes. He was positively contrite.
That's the usual pattern. After he'd killed that poor bloody wife of his, he was a bag of blubber for days. And a fat lot of good it does any of us.
Shall I,
Get him down, please. Better to have our eyes on him.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
I suppose you have tried reasoning with him.
Oh, yes, no end. So did Julia. He listens and agrees, or won't listen and is sulk.
Going to care, Jimmy.
Depending how the mood takes him.
Either way, it makes no difference.
He can't change his spots.
He's a dyed-in-the-wool leopard, and the spots go beneath the skin. Give us another drink, Holding.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever drunk so much as here recently.
Patronizing bloody twerp. I say, look here.
We've changed our mood to one of bravado, I hear. Come in, Jimmy.
No, you won't.
I'd like a brandy and... Holy cow.
Yes, Jimmy. It's my service revolver in my hand. And it's loaded. And I do know how to use it. And I have used it in anger. And unless you stop this farting about, I will use it in anger again to shoot you down like a mad dog. Give him his drink, Mary.
Yes, I'll just pour it.
Sit down, Jimmy. Over there.
Oh, all right.
It's a rotten thing to say to anyone, but I'm going to say it to you. You're not sane, you know. You should be in a place where you can be given proper attention. Somewhere like Broadmoor would be ideal, but not possible.
Here's your brandy and soda, Jimmy. But what about you, Charlie?
Large scotch, please. What are you going to do, Bill?
I don't know, Jimmy. Because I'm going to behave just as I feel at any given moment. Indulge my every mood, as you do, old scout. So if I just happen to feel like pressing the trigger when you're not looking, then I shall. Or if I don't want to see you for a few days, I'll put you down the hole and not move the desk away. How's that?
Not the hole. It's bad enough after a couple of hours. I go mad.
You are mad. So all you do will be to exhibit your madness to an audience of one, shriek and scream to yourself.
Mary, don't let him do it. Charles.
Sir, it's jolly well right the way you behave.
I quite agree. It may teach you a lesson.
I'm sorry, Bill. Really, I am. I'll try to take a whiff of myself.
Oh, that's not possible, is it? You don't know yourself. You think you're one person one moment, another the next. You have no real self. Nothing to take a grip on.
I don't know what the answer is. I wish I did. I do will.
Oh, don't start blubbering. We won't take any notice anyway. You posed the question when you lost your cool and murdered Ruth. The answer so far has been a sort of agony for your poor, blooming friends who hide you, put up with you, indulge your moods, and make ourselves part of a conspiracy to pervert the course of justice. And whatever we think of those laws and that justice, it's by them that we'll be tried and sentenced. So we can't hand you over now. Even if we pretended you had only just arrived on our doorstep and like decent citizens, etc., etc., none of us could trust you not to say the first accusing, stupid thing to come into your mad head.
Why can't you get me out of the country?
Oh, let us hope we can very soon. Otherwise...
If you'll stop me... Nobody would know, would they?
Charles and Mary would. I don't want to shoot you, Jimmy. For one thing, I don't want you on my conscience for the rest of my natural. You're not worth it, old son. But if you don't do as you're told in future, if you put us at risk, as you've done today, once more, then I'll put a bullet into your heart. Savvy?
Savvy.
Charlie is going up to town tomorrow to try to get you off our trembling hands.
Is it still Switzerland?
I don't know. Timbuktu, for all I care. Now you must go down the hole, just in case our friendly police persons decide to pop in again.
I'm hungry. Can't I stay and eat?
No, you can have something later, when I know there's not the buzz of a blue bottle for miles. Go on. Down you go.
I'll move the desk. Don't let him keep me down there too long, Mary. I beg of you.
Until we're sure the police aren't around.
I can't think why they should be around suddenly.
Because you've been travelling the country, old scout, and the female fuzz was here when you decided to return.
I swear nobody saw me. They know it wasn't me driving the bally old car.
And they all know the bally old car, it being the only one of its sort in the district for sure.
Where did you go, by the way?
I don't know. How could I bally well know? I just drove it in a sort of circle. Luckily, I remember the name of the village. Otherwise, I should have been totally at sea.
I say, that's a thought. You could have driven off without the first idea of where you were going.
Indeed, you could. So we are lucky to have you back, aren't we? And without a police escort. Fool. Down the hole, fool. And when I'm quite certain that the coast is clear, I'll bring you up.
I wish you'd use the gun. I'm better off dead.
Stop the amateur dramatics, Jimmy, and go down the mine.
Oh, blast you, Bill. May you rot in hell one day. Join your lovely Julia there.
All right, Charlie, let him get to the bottom.
He's a monster. A monster.
Don't be surprised if I decide to hang myself.
Shut the trap door, Charlie. Put the desk back so it can't be moved.
I say, he's wearing a belt. He couldn't.
If I thought he would, I'd supply the rope. But Jimmy is not one of those. No more than Julia was.
We must get him away. We can't go on keeping him like a prisoner, can we? And us as well. Prisoners keeping a prisoner.
I know. This could only ever work with his cooperation. He did cooperate before. Before Julia died. Which makes me wonder, as it must make you wonder.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Good morning, Mr. Butler, sir. Everything about this business, if it is creepers you're wondering about, makes me wonder. What in particular?
Oh, yes, you don't know, of course. Mrs. Batty and Hilda. Batty, by the way, is as sane as we are.
No comment.
Only a bit slow. Hilda is a bit batty. But she's seed a man. And Batty has heard one. Up in the attics. Oh, Batty's a bit blind.
Could you describe him?
Bearded, but it fits. Oh, there is a pre-soul, by the way. Hilda peeked through the window one day and she seed Bill Kent coming up through the floor like the Demon King. He gave her quite a turn.
Yeah, it would me.
Oh, yes. Well, how are we today, Railing?
Very well, thank you, sir. Slept like a top.
Go on, then. Tell me. Did he make a pass?
As best he could. He was rather restricted.
What did you do? Put the bracelets on him?
He twisted a knee gardening.
What?
An old polo knee that's weakened.
Kent gardening? Don't believe a word of it. Did he talk of his polo friends and others?
He did, and they included Jimmy Jenkins.
Kent wouldn't give much away, I'm sure. Well, was there anything?
Not a sausage. One must admire him for his nerve.
And you do?
Oh, yes, he's quite a chap.
What about the other two, then?
Well, she was as calm as the goddess of calms. He gave a terrible performance. Jumped up like stung, rolled his eyes, was furtive, had kittens, found the silver lining, thought the ceiling was about to fall, and had certainly robbed the bank that afternoon.
What, all this at the mere mention of the name Jenkins?
No, actually, it was to do with the garage. Or rather, his car being returned from the garage.
Well, on Sunday evening?
So they said. Mary Cookham charmed them.
That Cookham car, that fancy foreign job?
Italian, sir. It wasn't in the drive when I arrived, but it was there when I left.
Did you hear it being returned from the garage?
I did, sir. It hooted. The Cookhams went out to deal with whatever situation there was to deal with. They said to pay. Kent, remember, was incapacitated. So we were left alone to have a sexy 5 minutes until Charlie came in looking as if he'd been successful in the lavatory for the first time in weeks.
Well, it all could be true.
I called at the garage, the one they said it was, on my way in this morning. Do you work on Sunday? They suggest that was balmy. Not yesterday, not ever. Sacrilege in the trade.
Somebody borrowed the Italian job and took it for a drive when they shouldn't have and got back at the wrong time.
I suggested I should go at that time. Kent and Cookham wouldn't hear of it.
Mrs. Batty and Batty Hilda were told that the previous housekeeper left her illegitimate idiot grown-up son behind at Creepers when she left.
Oh, we wondered, didn't we, about an idiot kept out of sight?
No, not even Batty and Hilda believed the idiot man's story.
Must be Jenkins, mustn't it? Hilda's actually seen him.
And Mrs. Batty has heard him, coughing, swearing.
We should tell the Met our tale, shouldn't we, sir?
I want the glory, girl. They missed him. He was there.
He must have had something to do with Julia's fall to death.
He's killed one woman. Why not another?
I wonder if Bill Kent knows the score.
I wonder if Kent got Jenkins to do it.
Oh, that's a nasty thought I haven't had.
Probably Kent is none the wiser than we are. But he must at least suspect Jenkins.
And if he knows that Jenkins did it, on Jenkins' admission, then he's right slap between the devil and the deep blue sea, isn't he? Oh, the poor wicked old sailor.
Don't sound sorry for him. He's had a good run before the consequences snapped at his heels.
Perhaps Jenkins will never come out of that house alive.
I had thought of that. If he becomes a bad liability, then I can imagine he'd be for the chop.
So what do we do, sir?
I need to put a mouse in that house.
What about Mrs. Batty and Hilda?
Well, I've asked them to report on anything out of the ordinary, only what that means to them is another matter.
Well, who could we get into the house?
Who, indeed? Well, long enough to bug the whole place.
Suppose we could flush him out?
Well, a discreet surveillance for starters, but not too discreet. Let them see enough to make them worry. Oh, yes, and some terror tactics.
The front doorbell, Hilda.
Yes, ma'am. Do you want him in?
Want him in? Well, who is it?
Sim, watch outside.
Do open the door, Hilda.
Yes, ma'am.
Morning.
Oh, thank you. Flowers, ma'am.
Sign, please.
Thank you, Hilda.
looks at it as if it was for a funeral. Lilies.
What is this?
Priest, madam. Name of Jenkins.
I think you're mistaken. There's no one of that name here.
Oh, it's in the book, madam. Creepers. Jenkins, deceased.
Well, what's on the card?
Here we are. To Jimmy Jenkins from those who know where he is. Heaven, I suppose they mean. It's been paid for, madam.
I'm so glad. I'm afraid this is a joke in bad taste, although not your fault. There is no funeral and no Mr. Jenkins here.
All right, I'm here. I get it.
Hello, 225. Hello. Yes. I said 225. Cookham's my name. Yes, Cook and Ham. Who are you? Are you? Captain Kent's not here. He'll be back later. Yes, for lunch. Yes. Can I what? I take a message. Of course. Yeah. Let me get pencil and paper. I don't have far away. Tell him of the world outside. Waiting for Jenkins. Hey. What the hell? Hey, look here. Who are you? No longer a bally joke.
Captain Kent! Captain Kent!
Oh. That here, what's up?
Oh, he'll read me. We have to run, sir.
Run? Bob is having to chase you on the premises.
There's men out there. They stare at us, so we run.
Men out where?
They're behind the hedge, sir. Opposite the drive. Lurking.
Lurking they were. Yes. And their heads of the...
In the hedge. They never took their eyes off us as we came up the road from the old bus.
Muggers, that's what they were. Muggers from London.
How many of them?
Oh, three, I think, sir. Big men.
I don't think much of this post.
No, me, mine. Even a ballet bookmaker wants his pint of flesh.
It's a letter for Julia, Bill. Typed.
Open it, please, Mary. I abominate the job.
Something else awful.
What?
What was Jenkins up to on the night you fell from the attic window? What a pity you can't say.
I better let me go, Mary. It looks like a taxi.
It is a taxi.
Yes. You probably got the wrong house.
Creepers, sir. And a phone call saying to come up here and pick up a Mr. Jenkins. Take him to the police station.
Sorry. Wrong house.
Where's Jimmy?
Having some sun on the terrace.
I see he doesn't move, will you?
What is it this time?
At the end wood, a chappy up a tree with binoculars. Very well hidden, and just caught a glimpse of it.
Well, hadn't Jimmy better go in?
No, he got the heist between him and the tree creature, but don't let him get around the garden. I'm off to tell Bill.
How much longer can we stand this, Charlie?
I don't know, Opie. I don't know.
So what else are you going to do to them? What else can you do to them?
Hey, not so loud. Please, Raylene. If any of this gets out, I'll be scrubbing floors in a local nick faster than next week.
Mr. Butler, you deserve to. I didn't think you could be so awful.
Awful? Is that all? Only awful? Oh, it's not difficult. Oh. You just let the imagination flow free.
Directing it at the same time with malicious glee towards a particular object or target.
A free-flowing imagination is a load of cobblers unless there's a point of flow.
You really don't like that crowd, do you? Kent and his chums.
No, I don't. Without a doubt, I don't. I mean, I don't actively dislike real villains, do I, with a few exceptions? Oh, there'll always be a game of cops and robbers going on somewhere. Some of us drift to one side, some to the other. Most stay in the middle. But Kent and his chums are different. I mean, those we don't know. Oh, Charlie's pathetic, and she's, well, better than most. But the crowd Kent stands for who've tried to keep Jenkins beyond the law, they're a right lot of toffee-nosed bastards. Oh, I've had dealings with their kind when I was a young copper, and I discovered they were real rubbish dressed up to resemble people.
Things went deep, didn't they? Were you hurt?
Probably. Deep? Well, deeper than most experience, because it was unique. And just think, Raylene, what it would have been like if Jenkins was a small-time common villain. Wife murdered, he wanted for the crime. First off, I doubt if any of his pals would have touched him with a basketball. Not through any altruistic motive, but because they'd have known it was a dead loss in the end. Second, they and everybody near Jenkins Mark II would have been turned over until it hurt. And there wouldn't have been any of the Mayfair man outwits police stuff in the press. None of the spurious glamour of the Mayfair Scarlet Pimpernel headline. Probably only something like, scrap metal dealer wanted for wife murder. Bleak stuff. And the Jenkins set get the soft hand in the velvet glove treatment, don't they? I mean, the Met didn't even see fit to tell me they were interested in Kent. And if I let it out now that I think that Jenkins is there at Creepers, you know what would happen as well as I do. They'd knock on the door, cap in hand, and ask nicely, and while they wipe their big feet on the doormat, Jenkins would be off on the way to another chummy's lair.
Do you think they'll try to get him away, sir?
Yes, I do. So I have to play this dirty. Not the dirty way they play it, but the way it hurts them most.
How do you see it ending, sir?
Well, they'll be forced to try and get Jenkins away. And if they can't quickly, Jenkins and Kent will fall out badly enough for one or other of them to run out screaming. By tomorrow, I'll know what's happening anyway, as if I was there.
How are you going to get this bug inside, sir?
Down the chimneys at dead of night. Have you seen these things they use to listen with?
Small microphones and such like.
Yeah, listening devices. Superb technological toys. Fiend's ears, I call them. Place a device the size of a lead pencil down a chimney, and we have four. And there's hardly a word in the house you won't hear clearly.
Gives me the shivers. Well, where do we listen?
In a van, 500 yards away, with some very beautiful equipment, which an expert works for us. Tomorrow.
I don't suppose they'd bother to light a fire at Creepers this time of year, would they?
I was 13 hours down that hellhole yesterday. 13 hours.
Well, you're in the garden now, Scout, so count your blessings, however small.
No, I won't be allowed out here very much longer. You wait and see. Some idiot will ring the alarm bell and it'll be, Jenkins!
Perhaps. Let's hope Mrs. Batty and Hilda have time to clean the drawing room before it rings.
My cell needs cleaning.
I have to do it yourself.
Can't Mary?
Why should she?
Oh, my God. I could do with a woman. And I don't mean only to clean my lair.
Yes, 6 months nearly for you, isn't it?
6 bally months, as Charlie keeps stressing.
Unless Julia obliged you.
Charlie at the mowing?
He is.
Didn't he have any luck at all in town?
I told you very little, so I have to force their hand.
And how the hell are you going to do that?
Dump you on a doorstep and kiss my hand goodbye.
Just like that?
More or less.
Well, then you may as well turn me over, give me up. God, I'll do it for you myself, if you like. Here and now. Here I am. Come and get me. Jimmy the Jenk is here. Oh, Jonah Jenkins.
Oh, shut up, you bloody fool.
They seek me here. They seek me.
What the hell's
there.
Going on?
Coppers seek me.
We should have had a mic in the garden.
Am I in heaven or am I in
hell? Try the drawing room mic now, will you?
That damn delusive.
Sounds drunk.
What was he sabbling on about?
Nope, they've Charles got him banal, sir.
Some poor lost soul, but they ought to put him in a corner.
Lose the drawing room, Gibbs. Try the study now, will you?
Nice empty room noise. That's a door. Mm-hmm. Hold it. Footsteps? Going upstairs. A lot of them. Master bedroom, sir?
Yeah. Good.
Thank you very much for that, Jimmy. For you to have one of your blasted freakouts was all we needed. Mrs. Batley and Hilda must have heard you. And all the gents lurking in the shrubbery with their notebooks.
I wish you'd stop waving that blooming revolver around, Bill.
Where's Mary?
Shooter. Hadn't thought of that.
When she comes back, we'll have a confab on you, old lad.
Nothing to talk about, is there?
In the meantime, you will stay in here, savvy?
Not all alone, I take it.
All alone. But I'll turn the key. Have a sleep. You said you were ever so tired.
Look, let me sit in the garden. I'll be good this time, I promise.
No, Jimmy, and I'm not even sorry. This afternoon, yes, when we keep an eye on you and on the snoopers... Come on, Charlie.
One son. I'll get my own back on you one day. You wait.
You're sounding off like some snivelling schoolboy.
That's what I thought.
Hey, won't be long. Out we go.
Don't point that toy pistol at me, do you hear? One son. The
if he shoots himself with it.
I'll stay with him, sir.
Yes, but I'd like to hear what Kent and Cookham have to say.
I'll have to put the other receiver on.
There's no way that I can take any more of this, Charlie.
You don't have to tell me what to do then.
Drive him out somewhere and leave him.
Need help? Yeah, absolutely.
Help. Tell him we arranged a pickup. It could work.
Is that Jenkins whistling?
Yeah.
What will Big Bill do? Put me out somewhere? Like to throw a dog you don't want out of a car?
You haven't had any funny things happen for a couple of days, right?
I should imagine bloody
Butler's
run out of ideas.
No, he bloody hasn't.
Playing? That would be his idea of a joke. I won't go. I won't.
We're not actually hearing Jenkins' thoughts, are we?
Bless you, no. He thinks aloud well, though, doesn't he?
It comes from being locked up a lot.
I don't understand why he hasn't walked in and said, hand him over.
Because he's not...
Go on, Big Bill. Tell him.
And he's not sure
I'll
be able to grab
him
if he wants.
True enough.
What? Jenkins?
Laughing? Oh, like a child crying.
Mary's right, I suppose.
All nerves. Indubitably. Until we get enough. And ourselves.
I never considered it.
Myself, brother. Who was really out in a different
Well, that's true.
No, because I lost my temper. I didn't mean to kill the silly cow, but she shouldn't have done it. What a silly cow.
Which silly cow?
She wouldn't struggle in. Oh, nothing's true. None of it's true. It's all a nightmare, and Nanny will come and wake me up from it soon. Good old Nanny.
Oh, you're listening.
Round the twist. Lose him for a moment, will you, Gibbs?
Car riding.
Have you got a mic near the front door?
Yes.
Hello, there's Mary back.
Good. When she's past the shopping, bring her out to the garden.
Yes, all right.
Why the hell did I forget the garden?
Because you were too enthusiastic about the chimneys,
all right.
Charlie, anything happened?
Not much. Jimmy's up to his usual silly buggers.
Oh, I'm so tired of it. What this time?
Shiting and so on in the garden. We locked him in the bedroom. That is a doing I'd be going.
Well, it could be worse, just.
Bill wants to talk. He's in the garden. I think he's going to take some ballet tough action today.
Oh, thank God. Well, let me put the shopping in the kitchen, have a pee, and I'll join you. Hey, why the garden? It's full of biting insects. Does he think the house is bugged?
Hello?
I say. Don't give me the creeps, old darling.
Creepers for the creeps. I was only joking.
I'll be with Bill.
Try Jenkins again, please, Gibbs.
All right, Mr. Butler.
Good. He's asleep.
I think there could be a showdown, sir. Soon.
I think you're right, really. Let's warn the boyos, shall we? This is Butler to the pantry. Pantry one, move forward carefully now and take up position. Understood?
Understood.
And have the fireman's net ready for use?
Will do, sir.
Pantry 2 and 3, stand by to move in on the signal knives and forks. Butler out.
Fire drill, sir? Do you think they'll set the place on fire?
A net for catching bodies. Somebody might throw somebody out of a high window.
It's like having second sight. I'm supposed to have that.
Well, some of it's rubbed off on me.
But it could happen.
Put your second sight to work and tell me how.
Jenkins, somebody called Julia. Oh. I can't hear her presence.
Holy smoke, I should hope not. Listen.
Come to bed. Good girl.
Talking in his sleep, isn't he?
Well, that's it, of course.
No, don't say that. Don't say that, you bitch. Laugh at me, would you? I'll teach you a lesson, my fine lady. Come here.
Is this the night in question?
The more you wriggle, the more I'll hurt you. Hold on. Hold on. Be still, Julia. Still. Julia!
They must have heard the screams.
Which they wouldn't if he'd been down the hole.
Sleep. You woke me.
You're screaming and shouting, old boy.
It's a nightmare. I wake myself sometimes down that hole. It's on my conscience. I can't forget it.
What can't you forget?
It's Julia. That night.
When she fell from the attic, you mean?
Yes, I don't remember what happened with Ruth.
Ruth is his wife.
It's gone. But with Julia, it was a mistake, Bill. It was all a mistake.
Tell us, can you? Try, Jimmy.
You were all out. She said yes. All right, but she wanted to go out to my room, not hers. She was a bit tiddly, but that was all to the better. Got up there and she started to play hard to get. I said, stop it, you old tart, and get on the bed, but she wouldn't. And thoroughly nasty, said I was a murdering pig and other things. Told me to clear off there and then, and if I didn't, she'd dial 999 and get the wazzers in and tell them who I was. I wasn't going to let her do that, was I? So I grabbed her, opened the window and shoved her head out to cool off. She started to shout. She called out for help, and she shouted, Jenkins, the murderer is here, over and over. So I brought the window down across her back, so only her behind was in the room. I thought I'd teach her a lesson, so I got behind her and took up her skirt when she kicked me. It's like a horse kick, right in the ghoulies. I went over, let go of the window, and she shot out. It just shot out. I was on the floor, holding where she'd kicked me. I couldn't stop her, Bill. It was all an accident.
Oh, my God, Bill.
Get on your feet, Jimmy.
Right away, Bill.
What are you going to do? He's coming upstairs with me. And he's going to look out of that attic window like Julia did.
No, you can't, Bill. You can't.
Right, that's it. Butler to pantry. Knives and forks. Come on, Rayleigh. Thank you, Gibbs.
I can't move. I'm mad, you know.
Shut-up houses always look so sad. Well, I think so.
No, don't be so defensive. They do. Even Creepers does. Well, now it's finished, I wanted to see the place, didn't I? Like some sentimental old lout. Come on, let's walk around.
And that poor garden. That's sad, too.
Gardens have a way of returning to life. Once they're given a helping hand.
Do you mean anything by that?
Only what I meant. Oh, there's the attic window. This is where we found Jenkins snared in our net, alive and kicking.
And this is where we found Julia Kent dead.
Would have been clean if Jenkins had pitched up and died here on the same spot. Poetic justice out of some ancient Greek play.
Does it ever happen, sir?
Oh, I'm sure it used to, if in another land. Instead, Jenkins will live out the rest of his natural, probably, in one institution for the criminally insane or another, costing, what, $3,000 a year?
Well, I accept he's insane, do you think?
He's unfit to plead. I suspect he always was. Only the smart suit, the expensive shirt, the correct tie, the handmade shoes, the barber's attentions, the stand-up straight background and the paper stuff he could flash around stop most people from looking at him objectively.
Well, you can't blame them. Madmen are supposed to look mad, wild of dress and eye.
Kent got to know Jenkins was beyond redemption.
What will Kent get, do you reckon?
Well, they can't prove he tried to kill Jenkins, and I gather they're not going to try to do so. So, for harbouring, concealing?
He'll go down well with the jury, won't he?
He went down well with you, didn't he? Yes. The jury will be impressed
by the loyalty to a poor mad friend he's shown. There's the dead Julia. Hasn't he paid the price, suffered enough? 18 months suspended.
Will you be cross at not nailing him to the doorpost?
I'm no longer cross, as you call it. I mean, I beat him inside the distance. I took the chump down a peg or two. I still don't like what he stands for, but that's another matter.
He's laughing at the system, really, isn't he?
The Bill Kents always have. They don't belong to it, which helps them when it doesn't help the ordinary villain. Ah, it's unfair. Something to do with society's pecking order, I imagine.
When Kent discovered that Jenkins was raving and what he'd done to Julia, why he didn't put a bullet through the chap's brain, I can't imagine.
A villain would have done, or had it done, but not Kent. His kind may well laugh at our system, but they go in for one of their own making, which is pretty difficult for us to understand.
Well, it's over. I'll miss the game.
Yes. Back to a comparatively quiet life, girl. Still, we annoyed the Met no end. Fancy not finding him when he was under their feet.
Hey.
What is it? Huh?
Well, look.
What?
Well, somebody's opened the curtains.
So they have. My God. It's Mrs. Batty and Hilda. They come in to keep the place aired.
If they see us, we'll be here all day.
I look forward to hearing Hilda tell the court what she seed. I do hope she gets some new teeth before then. Come on, Raylene. Let's tiptoe through the trapolium and get back to the beach.
In Creepers by Frederick Bradman, the part of Detective Chief Inspector Butler was played by Ian Holm and Detective Sergeant Rogers by Elizabeth Bell. Bill Kent by Jack May, Jimmy Jenkins by Philip Bond. Charles Cookham, David Saville, Mary Cookham, Francis Jeter. Mrs. Batty, Catherine Power, and Hilda, Gladys Spencer. With Neville Jason and Alaric Cotter. Technical presentation by David Greenwood, assisted by Penny Lester and Richard Beedsmore. The play was produced and directed by Jane Morgan. And now, with a look forward to next Saturday, here's Harriet Cass.
Easter Saturday on Radio 4. And as usual in the morning, Margaret Howard looks back over the week's broadcasting to make her selections for Pick of the Week, while Science Now looks forward to what's new in the world of science and technology. Then at lunchtime, you can listen to an hour of music in the company of Robin Ray. A seasonal edition of Weekend in the Afternoon takes us to Jerusalem for the Easter celebrations. Joining in the festivities is Shushu, the loquacious camel.
May I speak to him? Good morning, Shushu.
He didn't talk to anyone except his master.
Right, will you make Shushu say good morning
to me? Okay, Shushu, say hi.
Well, there's no answer to that, but there'll be lots more colourful conversation, human or otherwise, when Weekend visits Jerusalem and Rome. And we're still travelling in the afternoon theatre play.
I'm not certain one can get into the Gobi Desert.
Oh, I think so. Things are loosening up everywhere.
You don't hear of many people going there?
All the more reason we should.
That's true, very true. We like being pioneers.
In the evening, comedian, scriptwriter and emu owner Rod Hull is Roy Plumley's castaway in Desert Island Discs. And later, the Saturday night theatre play turns back the clock to the Elizabethan period and centres around the Queen's favourite, Sir Walter Raleigh. Some of your Easter Saturday programmes here on Radio 4.
And now, here's the weather forecast for tomorrow. Southern districts of England and Wales with bright and dry at first, apart from showers near western coasts. Rather cloudy weather with showers or longer outbreaks of rain, sleet or snow over Scotland, Northern Ireland and northern districts of England will spread southwards. Northern districts becoming brighter, though with further wintry showers. It'll feel cold with a strong northerly wind. Central areas of England and East Wales may have a frost at first. And the outlook for Monday and Tuesday, bright in the south at first, rain preceded by sleet or snow will spread south to all areas. Mostly rather cold with night frost. Radio 4. After Big Ben, the news read by John Marsh.
BBC Radio News at 10 o'clock. Red Rum has made racing history by winning the Grand National for the third time. The first woman rider in the National gave up after her horse refused at the fourth fence from last. It's now clear the Liberals will not vote against the government on Monday over the budget increase in petrol tax. Instead, they'll try to get the increase taken off by the summer. Nearly all British Airways domestic flights from Heathrow tomorrow have been cancelled because of industrial action by maintenance engineers. The opposition spokesman on Northern Ireland has called for a special anti-terrorist brigade to be set up in the province to catch what he calls the big fish. There's been more trouble with football hooligans. 36 people, including two policemen, were injured during and after Manchester United's match at Norwich. Red Rum has become the first horse to win the Grand National three times. His victory at Aintree this afternoon is the culmination of five extraordinary years in the National. He won in 1973 and 74, and came second in 1975 and last year. Ridden today by Tommy Stack, he came in at 9-1, 25 lengths ahead of Churchtown Boy at 20-1, with Eyecatcher third at 18-1. Pill Garlic was fourth at 40-1. Peter Bromley describes the final stages of the race.
It's the local hero, Red Rum, with one more fence to be jumped in this Grand National. Here he comes into it. He's risen. He's over safely. He's on the run in. There's two riderless horses coming at him. The riderless horses are going to run away from him, I think. And Tommy Stack sets his heart for home. In behind him, about eight lengths away, is Churchtown Boy. He's not going to catch Red Rum. Here comes the greatest horse of Aintree. Red Rum has 200 yards to run to make history. Two riderless horses are there in front of him. Tommy Stack is pushing Red Rum. The excitement here is tremendous. Red Rum has done it for a third time.
And there was jubilation after the race as the Liverpool crowd acclaimed Red Rum. His trainer, Ginger McCain, was almost overcome by the 12-year-old horse's victory.
I think it's bloody marvellous. Super. Brilliant on both the horse's part and Tommy's part. Absolutely. Never in doubt the way I saw it. He's a very, very exceptional horse. You know, I came here today and I was thinking I was probably one... I thought I was a week short of peak fitness. I really did. I want to cry for him. I'm sorry.
And another piece of history was made at Aintree by Charlotte Brew, who became the first woman ever to enter the Grand National. Riding Barony Fort, she got as far as the fourth from last fence when her horse refused. How did she feel about the race?
Fantastic, you know. I mean, I just wish we completed, which would have been the sort of ultimate, but he went superly, really did, and we didn't cause any trouble, which is what everybody was worried about, I think. I mean, what a thrill it is. It's the most fantastic race to ride in, and I hope I'll be back next year.
On a more sombre note, two horses were killed during the race. They were Winter Rain and Zeta's Son. It now seems virtually certain that the Liberals will not oppose the government in Monday's vote on the higher petrol tax. However, they're still opposed to the 5.5 pence a gallon rise announced in the budget. They say it will cause hardship to people in rural areas without adequate public transport. Christopher Jones reports on how they now plan to express this opposition.
The Liberals have come down instead on the side of getting the government to make some sort of concessions later on, when the finance bill, and that's the bill that actually brings the budget into law, when the finance bill goes through the House of Commons. There had at one time appeared to be a real possibility that the government might suffer the major embarrassment of losing the petrol increases, because all the opposition parties are strongly opposed to them. But Mr. John Pardo, the Liberal economic spokesman, has been talking privately with Mr. Joel Barnett, the Chief Secretary of the Treasury, and this compromise seems to have been worked out. Mr. David Steele, the Liberal leader who's in Lancaster today, explained their present attitude to me when I phoned him this afternoon.
Well, we certainly will not be voting in support of it. Whether we abstain or vote against this is a matter, of course, for the parliamentary party as a whole.